Welcome to the Adam Rothstein Hockey Podcast. This is your podcast for all things hockey. On this podcast, we talk about past history to the modern day and what you can do to grow the sport. I am your host, Adam Rothstein. All right, let's get to the show. And we are back. The PWHL has had their first inaugural game. We have our first shutout in the Winter Classic, and things are just going to be looking up on this episode. So let's get into it. Okay, so we have our first shutout in the Winter Classic. All right, everyone. So it was the Seattle Kraken, oddly enough, who got this, and it was Mr. Joey Decord himself. He was the core of that shutout. Haha, very funny, Adam. Yeah. Again, you will find me doing corny jokes. I don't care what you think. I will do them. So 3-0 for the Kraken. They were really cracking eggs on top of the Golden Knights' heads. Again, corny joke. So I've got to give this to, I just have to give it to the Kraken. I made a prediction on my YouTube channel that, thinking that Eichel and, was going to, come in to Safeco Field and just, dominate and just keep shooting and shooting and shooting. And there were some moments to it in this classic. There were absolutely moments, but it just didn't connect for Mr. Eichel, unfortunately, on the score sheet. So Tolvanen got his 10th of the game. He opened the score with that. It was 1-0 there in the first period. In the second period, Mr. Borgen gets his first of the year. Good on him. And Mr. Gourdet, or Gord, if I can learn to read some of these names, gets his 5th of the year. And we're 3-0. And oddly enough, all the goals were scored in the separate 3 periods. So there's that. Shots on goal. Even though the Golden Knights had a better faceoff percentage and more shots on goal, the Kraken still managed to come out of this as well. So I can't really I am a bit surprised by all of this. That was just really, it was really not something I expected. I'm still glad the Kraken won, oddly enough. And I think this, and now we've had this tradition of Winter Classic teams playing in the Stanley Cup, or at least one of them playing in the Stanley Cup, or just really going deep into the playoffs within those next few years. So I do expect to see them deep in the playoffs. I'm actually going to say this right now. The Vegas Golden Knights will not get to the Stanley Cup. That's not because of this Winter Classic game. It is just because I don't think they have enough to maintain it at this point. And there's just too many weaknesses being exposed right now for them. Eichel was not at his best in this game, and you still have your powerhouse Rangers in the East and the Jets in the West, which they're going to need to contend with, and the Canucks too, as well as and Mr. Quinn Hughes too. And, Eichel's a dominant force, but Mr. Hughes is still pretty good, and he has his brothers in New Jersey as well. So, don't discount a Hughes brother. Don't discount the Super Hughes brothers, is what I'm trying to say. So there's that. And there's that. I think the Canucks have been this dark horse in the West for a while. You know, they've had an incredible bounce back record from their previous year, and they're not going to just roll over like dogs. They will be, you know, a thorn in the Golden Knights' side. And even if the Golden Knights get past them in the playoffs, you know, you're going to have to face the Jets, and the Red Wings are doing pretty well too. I mean, you know, they're competing with Boston. They had a recent win against Boston, and they're doing okay right now. And Larkin's going to come back. Patrick Kane is just managing to just get really well on the score sheet. You know, they have Larkin, they have Kane, and they seem to just be having a better dynamic than Dreisaitl and McDavid for this season. And we haven't really seen much of Kane and Larkin, you know, just being, we haven't really seen as much of their chemistry as Dreisaitl and McDavid. We haven't. But I think Detroit's going to go do well in the playoffs. I don't know. Now they're back east as well. So, you know, they could still face the Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup final. That is still a possibility. It probably will not happen because, shenanigans, and you have, you know, so much in the east coming out now. As well. And also in the East, Sebastian Aho and the Canes, it's possible. And, and Teravainen too on the Canes. You know, I think the Hurricanes are still going to do well in the playoffs. I don't think they'll have a run-in with the Panthers again, but I do think they'll just do well. They'll get to the second round at least, and they'll hold off as well. I think the Capitals will not make it again. Ovi's 65 goals away. Okay, he's 65 goals away right now. I think that I'm still not sure if he's going to break it. He could do this in his age 40 or 40 to 41 season. And again, he'll be older than 40 and not under 30. So when his birthday turns 40, he'll be on his way to breaking Gretzky's record. I just think he's getting up there in age, and he has not had the best season of his career. So, and his focus is not getting the Capitals to the playoffs right now. And his goal right now is to get the most goals he already has the most goals for one franchise, and he has the most empty net goals of all time. And now he's just trying to get to 900. He's 70 away from there. He's 70 away from 900. Will he stay long enough to do that? He has about half this season left to get like 15. And if he does that, then he's got, 15. Okay, then he has to score an average of about 28 going forward, depending on to make it. And I think he can do it. I think he could do it, but I mean, it would just be, he'd be over the age of 40 when he does it too. But, you know, again, I think he would have broken this already had we not had the shortened Corona season, and had he been born 2 weeks earlier, he would have had another season under his belt there, and if we didn't miss the lockout in 2005, the 2004-05 season, he would have already done it. I genuinely believe it, and he could have had an extra 120 goals already, and we'd be, and this discussion would have never been happening. But the reason I'm talking about it is because he's old, and it does look like he's been playing injured, and and he's not scoring this, and there's something wrong there with his performance. And I don't know if he's got a bad hip or if he's just playing through so much pain that this is the only thing that matters to him. But the Capitals are not set. He is not their top scorer this year, I think. And when he's not in the top of the conversation, don't expect the Capitals to go far. The Penguins, Crosby's having a great season too, but I don't see anything, the Last Dance coming this year, so I'll just pass it off. The PWHL. I want to discuss this. So Toronto was shut out by New York. Ms. Shelton performed well. I do not have a PWHL app. I did not see this on the main networks. I was in a hotel in Maryland when this came on, so I apologize in advance. So I do think, Ella Shelton scores the first ever PWH goal for New York. Okay, and I'm missing the names. I apologize as well. Gets the goal, and New York gets the dub over Toronto, over Sarah Nurse and Toronto. 4-0, and I've got to admit that, I was not expecting the barn to be packed, but the barn was packed in the great Canadian city of Toronto. So there is a demand for this. Will they ever make a profit in the PWHL? I'm not entirely sure, but I think, they could turn a profit at least some nights going forward, but I think the NHL is going to need to come in and give them and just support them and just, take their losses for a little bit, and then maybe they'll profit as well. But you got six teams in this league. You have New York, Boston, Toronto, Montreal, Minnesota, and Ottawa. And that's your pick. Those are your cities. Okay, Minneapolis, St. Paul region. We'll just go with that. But every Minnesota team, has Minnesota in their title, and they don't necessarily play either in Minneapolis or St. Paul. So just wanted to clarify that. So from the article on the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, New York defender Ella Shelton wound up from the top of the circle, sending a puck flying past several bodies in front of the net through the five hole of Toronto goaltender Kristen Campbell and straight into the books. Ingersoll, Ontario, Shelton's scored the first goal in the first PWHL game en route to shutting out Toronto 4-0 on Monday afternoon, when New York selected her with the team's first round draft pick, fourth overall in September. Part of the team's plan to build from the blue line out, 25-year-old Shelton was asked what the younger version of her would think of that moment. And her response was, 10-year-old Ella didn't know that women could play hockey. Shelton said, growing up in a small town, she always played with boys. And that's a good thing too. This sport is, it's not like baseball. It's not like football. It's a sport that is loved by by everyone, and, can be played by everyone in different versions, obviously. Some of the rules, I do want to get to the rules though, because I'm not going to discuss, because I can't discuss everything with this game, but, so apparently there is a rule in the PWHL that I just love, that I think the NHL should implement, and that as well. But if the PK team, the team on the penalty kill, scores a goal, they get their player out of the box, and we go back to 5-on-5. That is the rule in the PWHL, and I cannot get over it. Like, why didn't we think of this earlier? I mean, like, because Mario Lemieux had so many shorthanded goals, and, you know, and, like, just getting, like, Ron Francis out of the box in the 90s. Oh, my goodness. That changes everything for the Pittsburgh Penguins of the early 90s as well. That you know, that certainly would have changed them. I think that, you know, it would have helped the Kings, too. Maybe they win against the Canadiens as well in that series in 93. But, I mean, like, hockey changes a lot with that. And you know, you put out McDavid and Draisaitl for the Oilers today, you know, you're gonna win if they score shorthanded goals. And it does incentivize the team to actually go and score, but not defend their net, too. But, you know, of course, you know, if they just kill the penalty for 2 minutes, you know, goal scores, and they still get their guy out and then return to 5-on-5 if, you know, if they score it too, but, and then the penalty kill is over too. But that is a very interesting rule. I would want to look over this as well, because it's like, you know, but should someone serve the time for the penalty they committed? Well, if a team knowingly can get out of the box or get out of a situation from a 4-on-5 situation, I mean, like, it's hard enough already, but maybe. Okay, depending on, but as long as, like, they don't do this with any majors, or if, like, they score 2 goals for a major, I don't think that's the case, but as long as it's just for 2-minute penalties only, I think it's fine. And 4-minute minors, I think you need to just, that for the 4-minute minors, I would just argue, don't let the player sit if that player committed a 4-minute minor, but only do it for 2 minutes. I think we should experiment with that line in the NHL, but just don't go above the 2-minute penalty. That's my take on that. Next, we got a 3-2-1 system. Okay, you get 3 points winning in regulation, 2 in overtime, 1 in shootout, or as well, or something similar to that. This rule, okay, so you automatically get a point I'm going to look this, should be looking this up. Adam, what happened? 3-2-1 point system PWHL. Okay, so the PWHL also adopted a 3-1 point system that differs from the NHL, with 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points for an overtime win or shootout win, 1 point for an overtime or shootout loss, and 0 for a regulation loss. The NHL needs to get on this and adopt this. The New York Islanders do not deserve to cruise to the playoffs because they lose in overtime to some low-level team, as, you know, as other teams just lose in regulation too. I think, and when the teams that win in overtime get, you know, only get a point too, or the teams that win in regulation only get 2 points, and then, again, the team that beats them only get 2 points. It's like, well, hold on. We did this better. We did it quicker. We deserve to get more points. That system makes sense, and Gary Bettman needs to adopt this rule immediately. I'm still kind of a bit hesitant on the shorthanded goal as well, but then again, here's another thing that happened back in the 40s, if you're not familiar with this, the 1940s, they were the, okay, in the 1940s, if you were on the power play, and the penalty was 2 minutes, and you scored a goal at like a minute eight, you know, the other 52 seconds would continue, and then the player would get out. But today, as we score the goal on the power play goal, you know, that player gets out as soon as there's a goal. And that should be, and we don't have that today, but the shorthanded team technically does too. But that would just, well, who does this incentivize as well? Or do we get to keep both of these things in, or do we implement both of these things? Because I think this is a little bit of an inconsistency, because, you know, if we get to, you get to restrict someone being in the box and you get to take someone out of the box, it's like, okay, well, the penalty is there, is set to 2 minutes for a reason, okay? You need to serve out your time, and the punishment is you either watch your team get scored on when you've taken a penalty, or you beat it and you have to go back and defend or reset your play as well. So there is that. But for the power play team, I mean, you'd think that, you know, you'd be incentivized to keep someone in the box, but I don't know about this one. I mean, like, if we implement both these rules, is what I'm saying. I actually like the idea of you know, the shorthanded team getting their player out of the box for, you know, like, too many men on the ice or a hooking call, and then they score and then they get their player out. But then they, okay, maybe this could work, but we need to see it in action. But you're changing the game of hockey right there. Now, we need the 3-2-1 point system in the standings, obviously, because, you know, the New York Islanders don't deserve to cruise to this, and even the Sharks don't deserve that torture. But I do think that we do need to experiment with having a player, you know, in the box for 2 minutes after a power play goal and continuing, and a shorthanded team, you know, scoring and getting their player out, though. But then again, you know, it's a risk too. But they don't get their player out, and then, you know, you could pour on two goals on a team in 2 minutes, being 5-on-4 or 6-on-4 if you have an empty net in the third period, too. So that is a severe disadvantage. So let's take this scenario real quickly. A team that is down by 3 goals has, you know, draws a penalty. Matty Beniers goes to the net, and Eichel and the Golden Knights are down by 3 goals, and they get a chance to get 3 goals within 2 minutes. It's 6-on-4, but they have to be the ones to, you know, if they're scored on, you know, the play continues for 2 minutes. And guess what? You know, there's still going to be a man up as well, and they can still get 2 more goals there as well. But would it be stupid to have that and then, you know, Matty Beniers or Tolkien, just, you know, scores an empty netter? Does that negate their you know, their PK at that point. I think we need to just reassess this going forward. I'm not entirely against this, but I just need, we need some experiments before we get this done. Okay. All right. So that will about do it for this episode of the Adam Rothstein Hockey Podcast. If you like this, check me out on Substack. You can get everything there. You'll get email notifications, all that jazz, and alternate hockey history. If you subscribe to me for $6 a month, and you know, also rate this podcast 5 stars on Apple Spotify, write me a little review, share it with your friends and family. And with that being said, take care.